You're listening to the Riverfront Church broadcast, a place to explore faith, history, ideas, and more.
No, I mean, God had a point to make. That's what the resurrection... that's kind of an oversimplification. But that's one takeaway.
There's an awful lot to learn here. And I don't think we even began to scratch all the knowledge that... is here and all the things that we have to learn just by the discussions of bringing up Psalm 22. And, you know, if we could have went back and read that, and then, I mean, we really could have gone a lot of different directions and delved deeper and deeper and deeper into all the different meanings of things that were said and how, if you were Jewish, how it would be, taken. Versus how we look at it and the meaning that we look at it, and plus the Old Testament and the New Testament, just an awful lot, mind-boggling.
I never really thought about Psalm 22 that much. My God, why have you forsaken me? Being the lyrics to the song, and him orienting himself and singing or praying in some fashion to remind himself of the mission. And that's something that's going to make me want to go and read the psalm.
Well, as always, I got a lot out of this, and one of the things is it's like the little details that happen in those last moments really open up a whole lot of other things, and then being able to be here and bounce it off of people and hear different inputs. And one of the things that got me was being thirsty, like saying that at the cross, just like we were talking about with the... You know, why have you forsaken me? It's like, it just really gnaws at me. It's like, wow. Like, I don't think he was really saying he was thirsty, like, I need water, because that whole thing with the vinegar. I think it was like he was thirsting for something. And it's you know.
Well, doesn't he say, I thirst? In some versions, he'll just say, I thirst.
Right. And which actually leads to a lot of discussion, because you think it's a simple statement, but for that simple little statement to be translated different ways and in the last words, you know, here's your whole life purpose.
It couldn't just be like him suffering as a human being and his mind is like, you know, dehydrated and he's hallucinating and just saying stuff.
It could be if we look at it in a human form, but for me, it's more of about a spiritual creature, because, you know, he's singing, and we take it as, at first glance, you take it as, oh, he feels lonely, he feels empty like us, but yet we uncovered that it's actually lyrics to a song. Okay, so if we keep with that, what is he actually saying in the thirst, right? And then I always go back to, at the beginning of his ministry, at the lady at the well, the thirst.
Maybe,
you know,
he's waiting for death, and I just wish this was over.
Yeah, and that's the kind of thing that kind of happens. It just opens up so much more, and there's a couple other things that happen in there. And then, you know, Alan comes with a great question, like, you know, why? You know, why did this have to happen? And we go all the way back to what was the reasoning for the sacrifice? Why was Jesus at that point, at that time, willing to lay down his life, and what did the sacrifice actually mean in itself and the act of it? And then the whole thing of the tearing of the veil, you know, from the top, not the bottom. It's those little nuances that happen during this little short time that opens up so many different questions for me.
Was anybody else struck by the comment between that Jesus made to Mary, behold your son, to John, behold your mother?
Well, it kind of took me back to, I remember when they came to get Jesus because they thought he was beside himself, and they talked about, they say, your family's here, and he basically said that his family was like his disciples, those who believed in what he believed in. So I feel like in that moment he's reiterating again, like, hey, you know, his brothers weren't there, so he's giving his mother to his literal family, which happened to be John.
Does Jesus ever mention siblings?
It's mentioned in the Bible. Yeah.
In like one of the major gospel texts, Luke, or...
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they're, the family comes together.
Yeah, when they came to get him.
And then, of course, James.
At the end, you mean?
No. In the middle of everything. Yeah.
the point I was making, they thought he was like schizophrenic or something. They came to get him.
So they like shunned the family. The family was just kind of like did not come around. They weren't there for the crucifixion. So that's why Jesus appointed like a caretaker, someone to look after his mother. Mm-hmm. Which was a big deal, like socially, politically.
So I always love this. This is like my highlight of my week because it, I think of this Bible study, and we are studying the Bible. It's like almost like if we could literally go back in a time machine and walk through the streets and envision the best way we would know how, what it was like to be there then. And that's what I like about what not only the discussions but the visuals that go with it. When you see the image of someone's bone with that nail through it that is still stuck in there to that day, like how impactful that was and what Jesus had to go through to sacrifice for us. And I had so many takeaways. I had to take notes because I didn't want to forget things I learned that I didn't know, like about when the veil split when Jesus died. You know, from the top to the bottom shows that a human didn't do it. It had to be done by God. And we know that the splitting of it symbolizes so many things, you know, now that we can go freely to God. We don't need a priest to go. But to learn the fact that that veil was 6 inches thick, that was really hard. Like, if a person had to tear that, that's really hard to rip fabric that's sewn together.
Telephone book.
Yeah, 6 inches thick, and for just to rip quickly, so that way you know that was a miracle of God. Mm-hmm. And just how the one verse says that the earth shook and the rock split, and we saw that image of a humongous rock in, I believe it was Norway?
New Zealand,
where there's this image of this rock that's literally split in half, and how that made me think of the verse that says, you know, if the people don't cry out for me, you know, the rocks will cry out for me. So how symbolic that could have been. And that also how when Jesus had died and was taken from the cross, how Nicodemus was one of the people who helped, you know, take him and prepare him for his burial, which had to be done by a certain time in a certain way. And we learned that they used enough oils and spices that they would have used for someone of royalty. So that means that they recognized that, okay, Nicodemus is like, well, he really is who he says he is, and he is a son of God, so we need to bear him. And then also, it was during Passover, so touching the unclean body to prepare Jesus for the tomb made them unable to participate in Passover, which to us, I'm like, okay, skip Passover. But no, you know, Nicodemus was...
It would be like skipping Christmas. I can't be with my family at Christmas. I can't be with my family at Thanksgiving.
Right, and the sacrifice...
It would be a social, you know, faux pas in a way, but they'd have maybe missing all the...
Right.
All of the family time.
Right, and how a sacrifice that was probably one of Nicodemus' duties is to be a... He was a Sanhedrin. He was somebody of importance that had to facilitate and run. Mm-hmm. So it'd be like the priest coming and saying, well, I can't do Mass this Sunday. I touched a dead body. Like, that would have been a huge sacrifice. Yeah. And to us, we don't think of it like that. But when you get that history of everything behind it and why it was so important, you're like, wow. Mm-hmm. And how all these things happened. And also how when it was brought out to us that in the culture at that time, like someone had already said, when he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? To us, we're thinking he's like, God, why are you doing this to me? But really...
Having second thoughts.
Right. Yeah. It was really him saying, I need to bring to remembrance this scripture that was said by David a long, long time ago in the Old Testament that's actually a victory speech, that this is the victory. So it's just, all those takeaways I got were like, wow.
With the discussion with the thirst, I wonder if, I've never, you know, suffered that much, but if he was thinking, like, I thirst for what is coming, you know, the spirit and the movement that will be ahead of this, you know, like opening up the future and seeing... Like, I thirst for the spirit of what I can have here, you know, instead of just physically, because it does kind of minimalize it if you were just thinking he's thirsty, you know, even though I'm sure, you know, after getting treated like that, he was. But I like the fact that you could expound on that, like look at it and say, wow, you know, like I'm thirsting for what is going to happen. You know, this time of year always amazes me to myself because something miraculous happened with me. Where I was studying this and I watched a certain movie, and I was thinking about the movie sitting on my bed smoking a cigarette. And I was thinking how, wow, I hope I could stand up for Jesus or anybody. If I could stand up for anybody that was getting treated like this or having this happen to them and say, stop, you know, and have enough guts to be above the fear of having it done to me. And I put that cigarette out and I laid down and went to sleep, and I woke up the next day and I was having my second cup of coffee thinking, why haven't I had two or three cigarettes by now? And I reached into my pocket and put a cigarette in my mouth, and I thought, boy, I think I'll wait till I want to smoke, until I like that cigarette. And that's been that was in 06, and I have yet to smoke a cigarette. So I give it to Jesus that he just took that, because I smoke two or three packs a day, and I mean it just went away, and I haven't wanted one since. So it, like, just the miracles, that are just the spirit that does happen in this time period, you know, and studying it is just incredible. I love it. Like, just talking more and more about it really fires me up.
Yeah,
I thirst.
Ah, you know? Got a taste of it.
Especially after those hot wings.
Yes. I like that bookend right there.
The turkey spice. Speaking of spice.
So next week we'll be continuing a look at the resurrection. And everybody is welcome to join us at Bull Bay Cuisine, 900 North Orange Street, Wilmington, Delaware, Wednesday nights, 5:05.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Riverfront Church Broadcast. You can connect with us online at riverfrontwilmo.com or on Facebook. Just search for Riverfront Church in Wilmington, Delaware. May God meet you where you are and lead you where you are meant to go.